Welcome to episode one of our real estate podcast, Hustle and Motivate with Cyrus and Danny.
Brought especially for you from Pacific West Association of Realtors.
So our goal of a podcast is to bring value to our listeners through interviews with other top producers and thought thinkers in the industry, but we wanted to start by introducing ourselves and what really brought us into the industry. So I guess what we could start with, Danny, is what really got you into real estate?
So before I became a realtor, I was actually working in a restaurant and I saw a ton of people coming in and bringing their, it was all realtors, bringing their clients in, enjoying lunch. And I was like, you know what? I know that I'm a hustler. I know that I'm good at customer service. This is something that I could really, really get behind. And so I just started asking people questions and who do I need to know? Who do I need to talk to? And one of those people was actually my mother-in-law. And she introduced me to my current broker. And I ended up taking a front desk position while I still kept my serving job because I wasn't doing it for the money. I was doing it to see, is this something that I can do in the long run?
So did you, like have any desire growing up being
a realtor? No, I was one of those people who thought, oh, you know what? I don't know what I want to do. I'll just become a realtor because I thought that it was going to be the easiest thing.
So you grew up in Northern California.
I did.
And then you moved down here for...
I came down here to go to school. I did not know a single soul. Actually, maybe there was like one other person in my graduating class, but I really didn't know anybody. I came down here and I just met a great group of girlfriends. And then I started at Starbucks, went to another coffee shop, worked into a restaurant. And then I ended up in Belmont Shore, 2nd Street. And that is where my, you know, circle, my friends list just completely exploded.
So were you going to school like studying real estate or studying?
No,
like,
I thought I wanted to be a teacher, and then I realized I'd rather work with adults, which I don't know what's worse.
Yeah, exactly. I know that one.
Yeah.
So okay, so then you met your broker. You did all that.
Fast forward, I took a front desk position. I did not do it for the money. I did it to see, do I really want to be in real estate? Because after learning a little bit about it, I knew that it was going to take a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of energy. And is this something I really want to do? So after a little while, I just decided, you know what? I need to, you know, pull my lifelines. I quit that front desk job. I quit serving. Oh, and wow. I just went full bore into real estate.
So were you getting your license as you're working your...
But it took a little while. I think that my broker had to start kind of pushing me and being like, what are you doing? I know that I was just very comfortable.
Yeah.
I was living so, so, so comfortably. And I was like, when am I going to just break the mold and do the things that are going to really help me do big things with my life? Because I was very happy and I was making great money, but I was never going to continually go higher and higher.
Well, yeah. And now you're absolutely killing it. So like,
thank you.
So my question is like, I think it's important, especially for the listeners, to understand, like, how long did it take you to get your license?
Well, I mean, if I really had put my head down and got it done, I would have been able to do it a lot more quickly. Yeah. However, I have a very active social life. I'm married. I have a daughter. I didn't have a daughter when I was getting my license, but what I think is really important is it is not as easy as people think that it is, and it does take a lot of time and energy. And so I think that it probably took me about a year to get my license, and then I was just kind of had one foot in and one foot out for a really long time. And then once I pulled, like I said, my lifelines, it took me a couple of months, but I just cut my head down, you know, busted my butt every single day for those couple of months. And the next thing you know, I had 5 escrows in my very first month of starting to close business. Boom. It just really, I think, kind of ties into the title of our podcast about hustling and staying motivated and staying hungry, because that is so, so, so important in this.
Yeah, because every day you have an up and down, and everybody always asks me, like, Cyrus, what's a typical day in real estate?
Yeah,
good luck explaining that. You know, it's because you get phone calls from a seller, phone calls from a buyer that's going crazy. So, like, well, okay, so now you have Claire, which is the baby, and amazing.
My sweet angel baby girl.
But before that, what motivated, like, what kept you ticking?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I always wanted to be a mom. And but I've always been super motivated to be an entrepreneur, to be a businesswoman. And it took a really, really long time for Connor and I to make, Connor's my husband, Connor and yeah. I to make our baby. And so for a little while there, what was hustling, what was making me hustle and what was my continual motivation was that we need to pay for doctors and pay for fertility treatments and pay for all of those things. And so that was my big why.
Yeah.
That was my big why, 1,000%, was I needed to continue to work really, really hard, close those deals so that I can funnel this money into something to become a mom one day.
Yeah.
And now that I'm a mom, what my whole goal is to be able to have financial freedom and take care of my family. And I never, ever, ever want to miss out on one of her future, you know, soccer games or ballet recitals or anything like that. I want to always be able to, I learned from the get-go to have a both and mindset. Like I can be both an amazing entrepreneur and a wonderful mom
100%.
And a great wife. And it doesn't need to be either or. Yeah. I don't need to, you know, pick one or the other.
Exactly. Okay. So I always ask, like when I bring on an agent to my team and everything, I always ask three questions. I ask, what's your definition of success? What's your definition of wealth? And then why do you do what you do? And ooh. So I actually,
thanks for the heads up on this. Yeah.
I just, so if I had to ask you, like, what was your definition of success at that point? Because I think a definition of success, like, right, it changes.
It's always changing.
It always changes. So like your definition, like for instance, in this, your definition of success at one point was probably, you know, having Claire.
Yeah.
And now you have Claire.
Well,
now
in the beginning before that, it was close one deal because I went months. When you become a realtor, you are literally wake up every day unemployed.
Yeah.
You're not making any money unless you're closing deals. And
exactly.
So it started off with just close a deal. Okay, let's close two deals. Okay, let's start putting money aside so that we can, you know, fund trying to have a family.
Yeah.
And then now my definition of success would be I've heard this everywhere and it's so true, is just choice.
Yep.
It comes down to choice. I can choose what I want to do, when I want to do it, and still continue to be the best mom and wife that I can be and run a successful business.
Yeah. That's amazing. But that's like pretty much, right? Like life is just, I guess, it's really just about choices. I was talking to one of the sellers this weekend. I had a listing presentation on Saturday. And after the presentation, we're talking about life in general. And he was like, well, life's just made a bunch of choices. And it's very true, right? Like, you know, if you didn't choose to move down to Southern California,
your whole life would have been totally different. But even speaking of that, I mean, speaking of choices, you have done so many wonderful, crazy, crazy things in your life that so many people, I want to say like normal person like myself, like I couldn't even comprehend. So please speak to us a little bit more about that.
Well, I guess like everyone always asks me like how I got into the industry and everything, and like how I always start is I always start from when I was really young. I was 11 years old, and my grandma, my uncle, and my dad passed away one year. So that was the closest people to my mom.
Yeah.
There was my mom's mom, my mom's brother, and my mom's husband, obviously my dad.
Yeah.
And
that is tough.
Yeah. I mean, I talk about this and especially with everything that's gone on like this weekend with Kobe and everything, like it's a hard thing because like death is so real. And I think that we forget that it is right. And that was something that I had to learn like really early on is like, I remember being in the hospital when my dad passed away and like knowing that whole scene already, like knowing what I'm going to go into. Right? Like, once I walked in the hospital.
How old were you when this happened?
11.
Jeez.
So I walked into the hospital. I already knew, like, when I saw my other uncles, my whole family's in the hospital room with my dad. Like, it's like this weird feeling. Like, I still get it where, like, I know exactly what's going on. It was like my dad passed away. Mm-hmm. And then my uncle tells me, and I realize it, and I leaned up against the wall, and I, like, slowly curled down in a ball, and I, like, put my head back, and I'm like, what's the point of life, right? Like, what is the actual point of life? I'm 11 years old trying to figure this out. And I figured out that the point of life is other people. That's really what it comes down to, right? Like, we do all of these great things, but if other people aren't around to be there and enjoy it with you, what's the point of it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What's the point? And so
it's all about relationships, right?
It really is. And it's funny because like I never in a million years thought I'd be in real estate as well. Like because so growing up growing up I wanted to be an architect, an architectural engineer until I was about 11 years old.
Yeah.
And then when I turned 11, I said I want to be a professional soccer player.
There
like mostly because before that, I didn't know that that exists. And then when all of this happened, my uncle was like my absolute favorite uncle. These were like my two male figure, like biggest male figures in my life.
Were they super into soccer?
No. No, my whole family, no one ever played soccer. So I was just like this kid.
Just anomaly?
I just wanted to play soccer, you know? Like, I just fell in love with that sport. Mm-hmm. And like, it's crazy because I, growing up, after once my dad passed away, when all this happened, all I wanted to do was play soccer because it was the only thing I could do without.
Was it kind of like an outlet for you that you were able to distract yourself?
It was the only thing I could do without thinking about my
family. And
like,
how did it make you feel when you were there?
Yeah, it was just like nothing. Like, I can focus on something that maybe I'm not really that great at, but I had to focus so hard on getting good that I didn't have to worry about what was happening at home. My mom started working 5 jobs. To keep the house over our heads, and it was just a whole thing. You know, my dad was the breadwinner of the family, and then my mom never had to work. She worked, but she never had to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my dad passed away, we lost the businesses that he owned, and then my mom had to work. I'm the last of 5. So
some major life changes there.
Huge major life changes.
Yeah,
so
no
then that's why
you buried yourself into that.
Exactly, and that's all I wanted to do was play soccer. Mm-hmm. So then I grew up playing soccer, and then I ended up, when I was 18, I moved to Switzerland to play professional soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And then my whole thought process with my life was, I'll play soccer, play till I'm about 35, 40 years old, and retire and put my feet up and have a good time. 26.
So we're a little bit younger than you thought.
So way younger than I thought. And so like what happened is I was playing in Iceland. I came back here during off season. And I was driving my car, and it was a super rainy day, and I was driving down the street, and then a car made an illegal left turn and T-boned me. And I was driving a little 3-series BMW, and a week later, everything, all the specialists from the club, from the league and the club, and then from what I'm doing, they basically told me I'm not able to play soccer anymore.
How did you feel in that moment?
That they were wrong.
Yeah.
it was like my whole thought process.
Mama
was
mentality.
Like, really, it was like no, like I can play. Well, the reality was the doctor said you can play, but if you injure your back again, we're talking about not walking.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you really want to do? And
at that point, did your coaches kind of think of you as a liability? Like they didn't even want to mess with that, so they were okay with letting you go in a sense?
So, well, luckily, one of my biggest mentors, Zach, I was talking to him on the phone about it, and he goes, don't be stupid, you don't play anymore.
Yeah, you have your whole life ahead of you.
Exactly.
Soccer doesn't need to be everything.
100%. And that was kind of when, so I went through this whole identity crisis where I was like, what the heck am I going to do with my life? I don't know. People only like me because I played soccer. Like they don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But during every single off season, I would do like different classes. So I got like I went to Italian to try and learn Italian, French. I failed both of those, you know. And then I was, this specific off season when I came back, I started my real estate classes. Not literally not because I ever wanted to be a real estate agent. It was just because I said, well, it might be good in the future to have, you know, mm-hmm. if I want to buy my own house or if a friend that I know wants to, you know, come in to
you
sign
just
with
do
the club.
Part-time, sell one or two a year, have some money on the side.
Literally, that's exactly was my mindset. Like, oh, I'll be playing soccer for, you know, one of the clubs in LA. And then when I have a friend
sell
that moves in. Exactly. I'm like, make an extra $30,000. Why not?
And so then how did that transition from soccer to real estate go for you?
So I got my accident in December, and then in February I got my license. And
did you have that's a really short amount of time. Did you have, because of your accident, have a lot of downtime just kind of keep your head down and get the classes done?
So okay, so I was getting my real estate license since
okay,
the beginning
so you
of
been
off
working
season.
On
I've
it,
been working
but then
on
you
it.
Had some free time and finished it up.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. So I had been working on it from the fall that year, from when I got back from Iceland. And then I had already, I had like just like, because during off season, like you don't really do anything but work out and like eat, you know, like it was like, so that's
I'm
all I did.
I'm more on the eating than the working out part.
So that's like all I did, right? Mm-hmm. So like I'd work out in the morning, I'd do some real estate stuff, I'd go, I did like live classes at the time. So I'd go at night to real estate classes and then in between I'd be working out and stuff. And then I finished all of that. Then, you know, you have to wait for the state to process and all of that. And that was the from December to pretty much February that I had to just wait. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know that I wanted to do that, even at that point. Like, I just, I was like, you know what, I'll get rehabbed and then I'll continue playing. I'll figure it out.
So then what was the defining, or I mean, if you have a defining moment, what was the moment where you decided, you know what, I need to put soccer to rest and go full bore into this industry?
Okay, so it's actually really, I don't know if you know this actually. So I got my real estate license and I had like been talking to a friend that lived in, that was in Laguna Beach. Mm-hmm. And then another friend that I knew like invested in properties. And the friend that was in Laguna Beach had, his mom had a property. His mom had passed away the year before. His mom had a property in La Jolla, and the value was $2.5 million at where it was. And then the ARV, which I didn't even know what ARV meant, mm-hmm. which is after repair value, was 4.6. And I had no clue what I was doing. I passed my exam. I called them both. I said, hey, I have someone, I have a property for you. And it, my friend was like, okay, yeah, where is it? I said, you need to go today. And then I called my friend that had the property. I said, hey, I have a property. I have someone
you
that wants to buy your property.
Quickly?
I kid you not. I got an offer and gotten a listing and everything literally that day. It was like the weirdest. It was like, and
you're
I didn't
right.
know.
I didn't know that. How did that happen?
Know, it was $2.5 million. I didn't even know that what I was doing. Like I had no clue what escrow was. Thank God, you know, for
I really am glad that you had great mentors and TCs to guide you along
literally.
That because that would be really dangerous, honestly.
Yeah, I know. And now I look at it, I'm like, what was I doing?
Yeah.
But like, I didn't know any different. And then I said, well, at that moment, I was like, well, maybe I can do this.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of...
If you can put something... That's the kind of mentality that a lot of realtors need to have is like be forward thinking and how can we make these things happen for our clients. Now, I hope that people do that and maybe they're a little bit more educated when they
exactly.
go into a deal like that. But the fact that you did that is awesome.
Yeah. And luckily, like I just was... I had like... really good people around me to help me walk. Because I would not have been, I didn't even know. And the guy that was my friend that was investor was had a real estate license and everything. Like he was there. He knew what he was doing too. So it was kind of a good combo.
Good little,
Yeah, that was like, that's when I decided, I was like, wow, I can do this. And then.
Talk about lighting a fire. I think that would do it for anybody, right?
Ridiculous, mm-hmm. yeah. So, and like, but like, Then after that, then you're like, well, now how do I get business?
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't know. So I think that, like, for me, the mentality is, like, if I'm going to go into anything, I'm going to go in 120% and no less.
Absolutely.
You know, and so that's what I did. I started studying. I started listening to every freaking podcast I could listen to. I started reading every single real estate book. And that's, like, what my mentality was and still is.
What are some of your favorite podcasts that you listen to?
There's a podcast. Well, at that point I was listening to a lot of like, there was one that was prep agent and I was trying to learn the terms because I didn't even know terms. So
it's more of an education rather than motivation.
Literally that's what I focus on. Like, so now I even talk about it as like the biggest thing that we can do is have a growth mindset in real estate. Like the biggest thing is to continue to learn and continue to educate yourselves. Like that's where I think a lot of realtors, you know, don't realize is that like we need to continually educate ourselves. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Got to stay hungry and stay motivated.
Exactly. That's all. That's what it's about. So now I have a question for you actually, and it's what your favorite quote is.
Okay.
So.
My favorite quote, I've been thinking about, like we were just talking about with everything coming to light with Kobe lately. It has just really, really hit my heart. And so the one that I have really zeroed in on is that everything negative, whether it's pressure or challenges, is an opportunity for us to rise.
Boom.
And that's something that Kobe said. I know. I have it on
Give me chills.
Thank you.
I
have it on the screensaver on my phone. We always have to remember that. And life is short, so we really need to make the most of it.
It really is.
Yeah. And what's your favorite quote?
is something like, it's there's always someone out there getting better than you by working harder than you.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because I feel like that's like something like as a professional athlete, as a business owner now, it's like anything, like you have to realize there's always someone that's doing something more.
Absolutely.
And that was like, that's a, going back to like Kobe, is like, that was a big thing as a professional athlete, as a business owner. Like, it was like a big thing for me. Like, where like you hear stories of him calling his trainer at like 4 a.m., you know, 2 a.m. to go do fitness, and mm-hmm. he's already drenched in sweat. Like, this guy was the hardest working person in the world. And so, yeah, that was, that's my favorite quote. And then, you know, yeah.
So in order to wrap up our podcast, one of the things we're going to ask all of the people that come through that we're able to interview is, what is your favorite food? If you could eat one thing for the rest of your life, and only one, what would it be?
Pizza, 100%.
From where?
Oh.
I need type.
From where?
Yes. I need type, toppings.
Okay, well, in the U.S., yes. It would be like from Valentino's Pizza.
Ooh.
In Los
Long Beach.
Yeah, they have one in Long Beach too. But yeah, that's like my fit. And that's been since I was like 5 years old. Like my mom does this thing where we do like a pizza party for each one of our birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
And we still do it.
That's
like
awesome.
Her thing. So that's every year I get my pizza from Valentino's. What about you?
Mine is tonkatsu ramen right now. I could literally eat it 5, 6, 7 days a week, and I would never, ever, ever get tired of it.
Honestly,
it is my favorite thing.
Honestly, we should go get ramen.
Okay, but I don't like eggs, so no eggs.
I'll take them.
Okay.
You could, that's perfect. I like them.
Deal.
Done. So that wraps us up for today.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Hustle and Motivate with Cyrus and Danny, a podcast brought to you by the Pacific West Association of Realtors. Please tune in for our podcast next time with Rebecca Donatelli, 30 Under 30 Realtor Extraordinaire out of Cleveland, Ohio.